Have you ever found yourself singing along with a song before you realize what you're saying? It happens to me every time I hear this song by One Republic. I feel something so right, doing the wrong thing. I feel something so wrong, but doing the right thing. Why is that? You know, why is it that we feel right doing the wrong thing? Have you ever felt that way? Sure you have. We all have. But why do we feel right doing the wrong thing and feel wrong doing the right thing sometimes? Well, the answer is deeply theological, and it's the subject of the essential beliefs we're discussing today in our message series about. And the question today is, what do we believe about mankind, about humans, about people? Are we good or bad? Are we basically good or basically bad? Well, I've got an answer for you. The answer is yes. We're both. We're good and bad. That we feel right doing the wrong thing, it just lets us know that we know the difference between the two, and yet we're still torn between the two. So why is it that we want to do the right thing, or sometimes want to do the wrong thing? And we're just mixed and confused. Well, like I said, it's the subject of our essential belief about mankind. Here's what we believe about humans. People are made in the spiritual image of God to be like Him in character. People are the supreme object of God's creation. And although every person has tremendous potential for good, all of us are marred by an attitude of disobedience that the Bible calls sin. This attitude separates people from God and causes many problems in life. We have both a God nature and a sin nature. G. Campbell Morgan, a brilliant pastor from a generation past, put it this way. He says, there is potential in every child for evil. Enough iniquity to work the ruin of a race. But beneath it, deeper than it, truer than it, is the capacity for good. I'm going to talk about the good side of our nature today. And Randy Dana, our equipping pastor, will talk about the evil side of the marred by sin side of our nature next week. And more importantly, what Jesus has done to rescue us from that evil side of our nature. Now, to understand our essential belief about the goodness of humankind, we need to go all the way back to the creation of the world. So if you have a Bible with you, open it to Genesis 1:26. If you have a Bible like this, then it's going to be the very first book, the first chapter of the Bible. If you're looking on on your phone or something, it's just going to be the very first book when you come to it in the Bible. Genesis 1:26. Now, the first chapter of Genesis talks about the creation and what God created each day of the first week. On the sixth day, He created all the animals that live on the land. And then later in that same day, God created mankind. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Now, the Hebrew phrase for image of God is imago Dei. I want you to try to say that, imago Dei. The idea of imago Dei is essential in shaping your worldview. Imago Dei is at the heart of all of our moral, our ethical, and our political debates. And really, without a strong understanding and belief in Imago Dei, we have no moral ground to stand up for justice or equality. Look at verse 7, 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Several things stand out here. Our unique relationship to God as compared to all other created things. The uniqueness and difference of men and women. The commands to fill the earth, to subdue it, to rule over it. Now, before we take a deep dive into the implications of this Imago Dei concept, this concept that we are created in the image of God, let's first make note of a very, very important fact, okay? Write this down in your message notes if you're using the BPF app. Humanity is the high point of creation. We are the high point of all God's creation. There's a special relationship only humans have with God, and this is because only humans have the image of God in them. Only humans are made in the image of God. We're not just another kind of animal. We are unique from all the other animals. We're the high point of God's creation. The most intelligent animals fall exponentially short in their abilities. Only humans are created with a sense of purpose and responsibility and duty. And earth was not complete until man was created. After God created mankind, he saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God's commentary on everything else he created was good. But when he created man, he said it was very good. And after that, it was complete. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. There are several implications about this concept of Imago Dei, this truth that we were created in God's image. I want you to write each of these down and think about them. Imago Dei, it implies dignity. It implies the dignity of all people. When God put his image upon us, we became of infinite, infinitesimal value. We are not God, but we are like God. We're a mirror image, a reflection. Therefore, two things. Look for reflections of God's glory in every person. Every single person reflects God's glory. Every person, young and old, male and female, from all nations and nationalities and races, citizen and immigrant, healthy and disabled, free and in prison, dying and unborn, Christian and non-Christian. Look for reflections of God's glory in every person because every single person reflects God's glory. And second, treat all people with dignity. If Imago Dei implies dignity, then we should treat people with dignity. Human dignity, it impacts how we treat other people. And the image of God carries with it the implication that we cannot mistreat anyone. If we truly believe in the dignity of all people, we will treat them with respect and we will protect them no matter who they are or what circumstance they are in. And we'll protect them from others who would seek their harm. All people have worth because they reflect God's image. Think of it this way. There are many historic homes in Virginia that are more beautiful and of more architectural significance than Mount Vernon. In fact, if Mount Vernon was not the home of our first president, George Washington, it probably wouldn't still be standing today. But because we treasure and we honor its owner, we treasure his house. Because we treasure God, we must treasure everyone who bears his image, which means we must treasure everyone. Imago Dei implies dignity. Imago Dei also implies ability. Ability. God gave you hands to give a gentle touch, eyes to see injustice, speech to mirror his words of love and kindness and compassion, ears to hear the cries of brokenhearted people, a mind to reason, to dream, to problem solve, and a heart to reflect God's heart for all humankind. So use your ability. Use your ability to do good. Our lives are not an accident of evolution. Our lives have purpose. Our abilities have purpose. Unlike animals, God gave each of us a passion for life, a thirst for knowledge, a passion for dominion, an appreciation for beauty, an admiration for goodness, and a capacity for love. These abilities imply responsibility. So write this down. Imago Dei implies responsibility. If we are made in the image of God, then we are responsible to reflect that image. We're commanded to be fruitful and increase in number. That means it's always a good thing to bring more children into the world, even during a pandemic. Imago Dei implies responsibility. So we've been given the responsibility to subdue and rule over the world. God has given us a high status, higher than all other creation, the highest on earth. But remember this, he created the cosmos for himself, not us. And so when we think about our responsibility for dominion and rule, think caretaker, not owner, okay? We don't own this earth. We're just caretakers of it in the short time that we are placed here on earth. So we're never given a license to pillage and pollute the earth. We're to treat the planet much like we would treat someone else's house if we were asked to house sit for them while they were away on vacation or on business. You know, feed the dog, water the plants, check the mail, keep an eye on the place. Feel free to eat anything in the refrigerator, watch Netflix, okay, swim in the pool. But imagine the owner's anger if when they came back after they left us to be a caretaker over their house, if they came back to find the food in the fridge had just rotted and was wasted, to find the pool full of trash, to find the house trashed, and to find the dog dead. I mean, that wouldn't be being responsible. So when we think about our responsibility for dominion, dominion is a privilege and responsibility, and it's a responsibility to help every aspect of nature reach its highest goal. Imago Dei implies responsibility. Imago Dei also implies intention. If we see how God created us, is distinctly male and female. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In Genesis 1, the Bible begins this narrative that contains a blueprint for God's design for the world. He made man in his image in two distinct forms, male and female. Two forms and only two distinct forms, genders or sex. And his intention was that the two would become one to carry out his purposes. Neither gender alone sufficiently reflects God's image. Though God is Father and Jesus is Son, both male and female, both the God describes himself as male, but the feminine attributes women display reflect Imago Dei just as much as the masculine ones. Each one of us is unique, and we were created, male and female, to reflect God's purpose, to provide the most complete mirror image of God. And therefore, when we look at this concept of Imago Dei, where we respect everyone, we also respect the equal worth that God places on men and women, on male and female. You know what? We don't have a great track record in humanity of respecting the equal worth of male and female. Though I could make a convincing argument that women have been treated with much more respect and much more equality in countries that have a history or grounding in a biblical worldview as compared to all other worldviews. But even with that, we don't have a great record in humanity of treating all people with dignity, of using our abilities only for good, and of taking care of creation. And the reason for that is because of the sin in man, where we are marred by that sin that the Bible talks about in Genesis 3. Randy's going to talk about what we call the fall of man next week, and the entrance of sin into mankind that marred that Imago Dei image of us. He's going to talk about that next week. But I want to take you past that to Genesis 9 before I close to reveal one more implication that's very necessary for us to understand about Imago Dei. You see, Imago Dei implies hope. That we are created in the image of God in spite of our sin. It implies hope. Chapters 3 to 8 of Genesis paint a pretty bleak picture of humanity. I mean, you see a lot of evil creeping into humanity, and humanity gets so bad that eventually God decided to wipe out almost all life on earth with a flood, and then pushed reset for humanity with a man named Noah and his family. God commissioned them with the same commands he gave to Adam and Eve, and even gave some more commands there. In Genesis chapter 9, beginning verse 6, God said, whoever sheds human blood by humans shall their blood be shed. But what he's saying there is that all people have dignity and we shouldn't shed blood. We shouldn't harm others. And the reason for that, he says, for in the image of God has God created mankind. As for you, speaking to Noah and his family, as for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Something very important and hopeful about mankind is found there in verse 6. When God repeats this fact, after the fall of man, after the flood, after all this evil that humanity has created and all the marred image, and after God's image has been so marred in mankind, in verse 6 he repeats this truth that for in the image of God has God made mankind. Even after all the evil mankind embraced, it did not erase Imago Dei. It did not erase God's image in me and in you. The image of God was not lost in mankind. Thinking back to what G. Campbell Morgan said, Imago Dei is deeper than, truer than our marred sin nature. That should give us hope. Even when our heart is drawn to selfishness and sin, we need to remember that God still created us in his image. which gives all of us hope. We are still loved by God. He wants us back. He wants you back. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you've created us in such a beautiful way that even though we don't fully understand you and who you are and all your attributes, we know that we are a mirror, a reflection of that you've created us in your image. You've created us with purpose and responsibility. You've created us for good, to do good, to be good, and to bless the world around us. God, we realize, though, that we are marred by sin. We want to do the wrong thing, even though we know the difference between right and wrong, and sometimes even know the consequences of our sin. God, help us to really hone in on this fact that you created us to be good, and you want to restore that goodness in us that we can't restore. God, help us to long for you. Help us to trust you. Help us to look to you for our hope and our future. God, we know that you want us back. Give us a willing heart to come back, and then fill us with your Holy Spirit when we choose to follow you and accept your Son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Make us like you. Renew us again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.